Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. Now, before we even go any further in this broadcast today, as we get ready to gather around the Word of God, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we want you to be our special guest today. Don't exclude yourself from studying the Word of God because you don't know Christ as your Savior or you haven't come to a full-blown commitment yet, and you just feel like this doesn't involve me. I'm still in that valley of decision. Please be our special guest today. As God opens His heart to you and to me, I believe we're going to see the love that He has for us and discover the great plan that begins with our salvation. Amen, but doesn't end throughout all eternity. Well, we got a great subject this week, and we were going to invite you to come to our website. We'll go ahead and announce our subject. We're going to be talking about spiritual hunger, the heart of true revival. Spiritual hunger, the heart of true revival. And I'll be saying that again, making some comments in just a moment before we go to Psalm 63. If you have your Bibles, would like to prepare to turn there or go ahead and turn to that Psalm. If you'd like to come to our website, we would invite you to come. Just type in THCOG and Google it. It will take you to the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida, where I have been the senior pastor for our 40th year now we're working on. It's been a long time. I pastored previous to that for almost a year, so 41 years in pastoral ministry altogether, and now I'm doing the work of an evangelist here in media ministry, so I'm wearing both hats, both a pastor and evangelist today. And we just pray that God will bless through this broadcast, touch who He wants to touch, teach who He wants to teach, and above all, that people know Him better and come to know Him if they don't know Him through this radio outreach today. Now, having said that, we invite you to come because there is nothing for sale there. If you were a millionaire, you couldn't buy anything. However, if you would like to leave a donation to help in any way further this ministry, it would be graciously and gratefully appreciated. But there's really no place there. You could arrange that through the radio station or contacting us by email. But we want to make it very, very clear that our motive, because of the graciousness of others, the grace of God and the graciousness of others, we're able to be on the air today and through our various outreaches. So we have over 1,300 sermons. There's no charge for any of them. We have recent edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We have materials that can be downloaded to podcast. Onto an MP3 player. The only thing that we ask is that you do not make any charge. Freely we receive, we freely give, and ask that you do the same. But we want the gospel to go everywhere that the Lord will send it. Praise God. And we're so appreciative to be part of the broadcast family here on WMAF, right there in Madison initially. But because of the internet and the streaming of WMAF 24/7 through the internet, anyone can hear this broadcast anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in any nation around the world that is connected to the World Wide Web. So you in Madison, if you'd like to be a media missionary, if you feel this broadcast would be a blessing to someone in another state, another country, maybe a serviceman stationed somewhere, and you can let them know what time it comes on here in America, tell them to tune in to WMAF. They'll not only find good classic country music, classic gospel music, and classic gospel preaching. Now, if you feel it'd be a blessing, alert them that they can listen by computer. Amen. And if they can't do that, they can come to our website and download recent editions right from our website and listen online. Praise God. Well, having said that, let's get into the Word today. Spiritual hunger, the heart of true revival. And this Psalm 63 is where we're taking our text today. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He was running for his very life. You see, his son Absalom wanted to kill his father and take over the kingdom. So you think you've got big problems in your family, read this story of David and understand that families have had problems that were seemed insurmountable, and yet through the grace and help of God, they came through to victory. David had to leave the holy city, and David had to hide in the wilderness of Judah to keep his own son, who had raised an army of his own countrymen, to kill him and take over his kingdom. And he wrote this psalm while in the wilderness. And you can hear the not just the agony of his heart, but the hunger of his soul for the presence of God. David loved to go to the house of God. He loved to be that close to where God was manifesting his earthly presence. Amen. Not sitting aloof in his heaven, but living in a manifest presence behind the veil of the temple. And David said, "My heart was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go up to the house of the Lord.'" Amen. So let's read together Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, on the subject spiritual hunger, the heart of true revival. He says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Behold, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with a joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in my night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." You discover something here immediately, don't you, that God is right-handed. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the hand of dexterity and power. There's another scripture that says, "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness," in the book of Isaiah. And it's talking about how God would keep his covenant with ancient Israel. "I will not just help you, I will uphold you." And that's not God coming alongside and putting his arm under you to support you, because your strength is still a factor. It's all God. The word uphold literally meant to suspend from the earth, to lift up to where you are reclined in his arms, and his strength is sustaining you. That's what David was looking for. "When I seek you with my whole heart, thy right hand will uphold me." Praise God. And it wasn't just seeking to be upheld. It was seeking him. It's all about seeking him. "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Secondarily, to see thy power and glory manifest. But first, to seek God himself. In his desperate situation David was in, before he even talked to God about his deliverance and sustaining him from being killed and his kingdom being decimated and his life being destroyed, David said, "My primary hunger is for God himself." But he knew if he sought God like that, God would respond to that hunger, and everything else would take its proper place. God would take care of David because David sought the Lord. Amen. I'm going to submit to you today that there are three types of people in any Christian gathering, i.e. the church as we know it. There are those that follow after Christ in name only. Tares among the wheat, the scripture speaks of them, which means that they are Christians in name only. They say that they're followers of Christ in God, but theirs is a false following, like that of the five foolish virgins who did not truly know the Lord. They had a profession without any semblance of possession. The second class are those who are followers of Jesus but are following at a distance, like Peter at the time of Jesus' arrest. And the third type are those who, as Murdoch Campbell declares, and I'm going to quote him, in storm and in sunshine, cleave to Him. Enjoy daily communion with Him. These people want God, and they want Him intensely because they know that He alone will satisfy the deep longings of their souls. David knew only God Himself can satisfy the deep longings of my soul. Just being that close to the temple caused David to feel comfort and consolation, to be near where the earthly presence of God was being manifest, behind that veil, between the seraphim. The lid of that ark had two golden angels facing one another, and God said, I will dwell between the seraphim. There was a presence behind that veil, and David said, just to be close, in proximity to that presence. Oh, I long for the living God. See, the truly spiritually hungry gather together to seek the Lord. They don't just go to church. Prayer to them is a precious time of communion, not just a religious duty. Praise is essential to them because they bring full hearts of gratitude. They cannot sit back and watch the choir sing. They must participate personally in the worship of God. There's a longing in their heart for God's Word. They don't just sit and watch the clock while the Word of God is being expounded and explained. They are not on a head trip. They truly love God. Therefore, they desire to hear His commands, His counsels, that they might obey Him. They are not just driven to God either because of need, but rather drawn to God because of love. They do not just come to God because of miracles and healings and the need of financial help or deliverance. They are not driven to God by the fear of their enemies nor of death. While God is the source of all their supply, they long for God Himself. Praise the Lord. David was far from perfect. He made many foolish mistakes. He even committed some heinous sins. But he died with this testimony, a man after God's own heart. So what character trait did God value so highly? With all his inconsistencies, there was one consistent attitude that God valued so high in David. He was a man who hungered for God. And because he was hungry for God, he always would repent when he fell, and he would recommit his desire to be an obedient servant out of love and devotion. Amen. See, God said before He chose David, the reason we call him a man after God's own heart, when Saul had failed, and Saul became rebellious and hard-headed and hard-hearted and disobedient, blatantly disobedient to God, God said, I will choose me a man to be king after my own heart, who will obey me in all that I command him. Amen. His hunger for God is what brought that attitude of obedience to God. Amen. And his hunger for God, while his obedience was questioned because in his flesh he had failings, his hunger for God was not questioned at all. Psalm 63 was written while David was in the desert of Judah to escape being killed by Absalom, his son. He was in one of the most barren places on the earth. And Psalm 63 was written in that place in David's life and that geographical spot. And it expresses David's longing for God. Here's what Derek Kidner, a commentator, says on this portion of Scripture and this psalm in itself. There may be other psalms, he says, that equal this outpouring of devotion, but there are few, if any, that surpass it. Another says of Psalm 63, this is unquestionably one of the most beautiful and touching psalms in the Psalter. It is a love song to God. Hallelujah. It's a love song to God. David sought God, the first principle, with his whole heart. In verse 1, he said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek you. Early in the Hebrew is the word shokar, and it means literally to dawn, to be up early at any task, with the implication of earnestness. And it also means to search for with painstaking, to look for diligently. You know, there's a New Testament scripture said, to they that look, he shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. These are not people just looking pie-eyed at the eastern sky. These are not people who are just watching for his coming. These are people who long for his coming. Amen. Because they long for him. The devotional use of this of faith primarily involves seeking God. The result will be a manifestation of his love in the meeting of our need. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Literally in the Greek, it would say, diligently seek him out. Not just stand on the word, use some faith formula to get a need met. There's a place for that. It's not first place. The first place in getting a need met is realizing a need for God to be paramount and first in our life. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. When we seek his face, friend, we will find his favor. And when we have his favor, all of those other needs are going to be abundantly met. It doesn't begin by seeking healing. It begins by seeking the healer. It doesn't begin by seeking deliverance. It begins by seeking the deliverer. Praise God. Amen. When we seek God, he said, you will find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Draw nigh to me and I reciprocate. Draw nigh to me, the scripture declares, and I will draw nigh to you. I'll manifest myself to you. Praise God. Psalm 34 and verse 9 and 10 really brings this to light. Listen to it. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Praise God. They that seek the Lord, not the good thing initially, shall not want for any good thing. We do not just seek healing, as I said. We seek the healer. We do not just seek salvation. We seek the Savior, and we are saved. We do not just seek counsel. We seek the counselor. We do not just seek peace. We seek the God of peace and the Prince of Peace, and peace occurs. Hallelujah. We do not just seek joy. We seek his presence, for in his presence is fullness of joy. We do not just seek victory. We seek the victor who said, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. We do not just seek green pasture, still water, a table in the presence of our enemies, a presence in the valley of the shadow of death, but a shepherd God who leads us to these blessings and makes us lay down in them. Hallelujah. Amen. Not a cup that runneth over, nor the anointing in and of itself, but the God who fills us with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You'll find me, he said, when you seek after me with all of your heart. And I'm telling you, when we have this God, our God, when we earnestly seek Him, I've often told my congregation, there are some folks, when they knock on my door, when they drive up in my yard, when they call on my phone, I know the moment I see the name come up on the answering service, or the moment I look out the door and see the car, I know those folks need something. They are not here because they care about me. I'm not whining. I'm just making, most of you can identify with me today. They wouldn't be on that phone checking on me to see if I needed anything. They're not here, amen, to say, you know, we just got a great blessing, we'd like to share it with you. No, they're here for something, because I never see them nor hear from them unless they need something that I can give. Something materially, something physically, something financially, something that I can offer, that if I didn't have it to offer, I would never see those folks. And that's a sad, sad thing, that they're not seeking me at all. And you know, if they just showed respect and reverence and concern about me, I may just offer without them even asking, amen, the things that they need in their life. God cares about our motive in seeking Him. He doesn't want to just be used by His people. He wants to be loved and honored by His people, that He might love us and honor us with His presence, His power, and His protection, and His provision. Praise God. Delight thyself, the psalmist said, in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, because the proper order is there. The kingdom is first, because the King is first in your life. Praise God. Amen. You will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. And David said, early will I seek thee. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to, primarily, that the dawn of the day, my first thought is God is my source and God is my desire, and I long for Him, and I want to be in His presence more than anything. Praise God. Amen. And God pulled David through, and not only pulled him through, but He established him as the rightful king of Israel and blessed him again and restored the blessings that in honor of David, and they honored Jesus when they called him Son of David, because he was in that lineage, and they said it's a high honor to be called someone in the lineage of such a great king. Oh, he feels so bad, messed up so much, but he had something in his heart that God said, if that is sustained, he will come back to me, he will recommit to me, he will rededicate himself to me, because of his longing for me, he will, and his love for me, he will serve me from an obedient heart. He will get up every time he falls down, he'll truly repent, and I will graciously restore him. Hallelujah. Oh friend, if we can find this place of spiritual hunger, till church is not a ritual and a routine, and not a religious duty, but a place where hungry souls gather to experience God's presence, to offer Him our gratitude in personal participation in the praise service. It's one thing to watch that wonderfully attired choir sing, if you have that kind of choir. Amen. There's beautiful robes available, and some choirs can hit those high notes. I heard someone singing in a Christian bookstore, it was in a store setting with a lot of glassware, and I thought, if she hits that high note above the note she just sings, everybody should step back from the glassware. Sound like it's going to split the glass. Wonderful range of voice to hit the highest notes and stay on key. Amen. But I'm telling you, without the presence of God, and I'm not knocking the singer, I'm saying without the presence of God, I'm just saying, without the presence of God, something is missing, for the hungry Christian is looking for more than just being entertained, even by praise and worship songs and singers. We don't go to be entertained. We go to enter in to the presence of God, where there's fullness of joy, because we're hungry for Him. Oh, that hearts would become hungry. There's a promise. God never fails to respond to the hungry, spiritually hungry heart. Never fails. Blessed are they, the Scripture declares, that do hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God speaks unequivocally. They shall be filled. You bring a hungry heart to God, God reciprocates. God responds. Draw nigh to me because of that spiritual hunger. What does God do? What does God do? And He says, and I will draw nigh to you. So prayer is such a great imperative of revival and faith and repentance if necessary. But it all begins with not just praying, not just fasting. It begins with spiritual hunger. And God responds to spiritual hunger by manifesting Himself. Here's what He said to a church that was hungry for all the blessings but not hungry for Him. In the book of Laodicea, He says in Revelation chapter 3, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Those are strong words, aren't they? And right at the end of that, He talks about, but if you were hungry, what would happen? If you were hungry for me, what would happen? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door. We're not just talking about the door to a church, but the people in a church who didn't have a heart for God. He said, if you will open the door, I will come in. See, God always meets spiritual hunger by manifesting Himself. Always you shall be filled. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with you, and you with me. The word for fellowship in the New Testament between God and man and between each other is koinonia. It's always a word that means, the Greek word, that means intimacy between two people. And I believe it's something that God longs for with His people. And when we long for intimacy with God, we open the door of our heart and He promises to come in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, to have that kind of heart for God and be filled with His presence. That's what we need initially in all of our hearts as Christians. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, there's a hunger in your heart and you're trying to fill that hunger with the things of this world and of the flesh. And I can guarantee you something, because I was where you are before I met Christ. I want you to know that you will never be able to fill that sinkhole in the heart. Only God can fill that place in your heart. But God stands ready, not only to forgive your sin and save your soul, but to satisfy the deep longings of your heart. And today, if you will repent of your sin and invite Jesus into your heart, He will fill you up, hallelujah, and satisfy the deep longings of your soul. The only thing is, you'll just want more of Him. Amen. You'll get in a good Bible-teaching church. You'll feast on the Word of God. You will enjoy praising His name. Praise God. Amen. And you will live the abundant life in Jesus Christ and go to heaven when He comes or when you pass from this world. It's a win-win when you come to Jesus. And if you're a Christian today, you've fallen into the trap of ritualistic religion. Stir up the fire. Rekindle the flame. Go back to Calvary and love Him and seek Him that loved you enough to hang on that cross for you. And revival is going to come to the body of Christ. Well, we love you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.